And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, ours for others. Ooh, I like that play on words. Ours for others. Plus, in this image, nyet. In this image, nyet. We're going to talk to the professor of retirement. Our own Marty Schneider joins us live. I got a couple of choice questions to ask the professor. I'm looking forward to that. Plus our Facebook post today, For a Reason.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. Over this weekend, I had a fine opportunity to hang out with my in-laws. Now, you have to keep in mind that I do not have a mom or a dad in the natural realm of life. My father passed away when I turned 20. So that's 35 years ago that he passed away, this last January 26th, something in that realm. And then my mom passed away about 8 years ago. So it's been quite some time. But my in-laws have been fantastic throughout my process and have been there for me always. And so we had a great chance to get together for some lunch. And that's always, you know, a good time to get together. And then my father-in-law asked me the big question. You're thinking, what's the big question? He doesn't ask me, you know, how are you and my daughter doing? Because we've just, the Lord just blessed us. Got nothing. I got nothing. We're just blessed to be together. Okay. We love it. He said, how's the book going? How's your book doing? Well, Dad, it didn't exactly like make that top 10 seller list, right? It's not a motivational book. It's a challenging book. And, you know, so the 1,000 copies or so that we sold is very cool. But I would not say that that covered all things, which is fine. We did actually get $19.34.37, for which we bought a pizza. That was my big reward out of that. But, you know, I told him, I said, I haven't done a ton of marketing with it, which I haven't. I haven't done, you know, well, a ton of things. I think I will as the season settle in and get done with the schooling and so on and so forth. I might divert a little more attention to that. But I do encourage you that if you're a person that's gone through it, I take excerpts from the book, right, and I put them on the Facebook posts. And without a doubt, those little posts I do, they're like 6, 7, 8, 9 sentences. They far outweigh the engagement, the interaction that people have, which I find amazing because it's from the book. But yet, you know, I'm not really promoting the book. So I thought that was good. It's good for your own parents to keep you, you know, like aware of the projects that the Lord's put in your life and not just to forget them once you've accomplished them, but to still take care of them and to, you know, look over them. And so I encourage you to participate in that. I don't make any money. I'm not going to make any money from this book probably for 10 years or 15 years. But if you got a tough time and you really can't figure out why the Lord let you go through what you went through, this book addresses a great deal of that. And that's because I went through it. And yet here I am on the radio, right? All right. Do we have a sound for – we don't have a sound for – we do have a sound for this first one. Okay. So for the – we don't have a sound. No sound. I'm getting the X sound or the X sign, which means there's no sound. This one is called Hours for Others. Hours for Others. Ready? Coming out of Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Remember, we had talked in Luke not that long ago. I think it was just the other day. We talked about Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, and that process of letting down the net and the expectation. I thought that was really important. This is that next portion in Luke, so you can tell where I'm at in my devotions. This is that next section that came about right after the section with the boys and doing the net process. Here's what it says. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. People had come from Jerusalem and from every village of Galilee and Judea, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They tried to bring him inside to set him before Jesus, but they could not find a way through the crowd. So they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." But the scribes and Pharisees began to consider this and asked, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" For those, and this is in Luke chapter 5, if you want to kind of tag into that, verse 17 through 21. For those that, you know, and I've just read this again the other day in another publication, Jesus never said he was the Messiah, or he didn't say one time he was the Messiah, excluding John chapter 4, Matthew chapter 26, Luke chapter 22 and 3, and then Mark. That's in Mark 14, and then another section in John, plus the 15 or so associations where Jesus' actions and words declare that he's God. This is one of them. You're going to find out how Jesus did this, because he even challenges them getting upset about him saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Before we get there, let's look at the story just a wee bit. The power was present. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now, I've been in Baptist meetings and Pentecostal meetings and Charismatic meetings and Methodist meetings and Presbyterian meetings and Lutheran meetings and Catholic meetings. I've been in every format there is that I can think of, and is not too often there's times in church where I've ever been aware that there was an opportunity where the presence of the Lord was so powerful in the church front that there, you know, he was present
for the power of the Lord to heal the sick. Now, I did not say I have never experienced that. I simply said I've never experienced that in church, which I think is funny since, you know, basically Jesus is teaching and there's people and they're sitting around. And that's when these things kind of take place where the Lord does stuff where he doesn't really ask permission. So they're at the house and they're hanging around. Some people think it's, you know, perhaps Peter's house, whatever the case may be. It says just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Not sure if we're catching that a paralyzed man is this, a man who cannot walk. Right? This is not a guy in a wheelchair. Can we? And I don't mean that rudely. He's not a guy in a wheelchair. He's on a mat. They're carrying. There are four people carrying this guy, and they're bringing him to Jesus. Now, what we don't, I think, see is how dramatic this is. People are coming to Jesus, and you know, the Lord is touching people, and people are getting blessed, and these guys are bringing this paralyzed man. This is a pretty dramatic moment. What happens with the four guys and their attempt to bring this guy to Jesus? What happens? They can't get there, right? Why can't they get there? They could not get their way through the crowd. What is that? What does that mean? There was an obstacle stopping those guys from accessing Jesus Christ. It's not, they couldn't get there. So you know what they did? They gave up and they went home. And everybody went home and they said, you stay paralyzed, we're done, goodbye. Oh, wait, that's not what the scripture says. What the scripture says is instead of just quitting, which is what so many people do, is they thought, man, we can't get this guy through for Jesus to touch him because there's too many people. Hey, I got an idea. What's your idea? Let's think outside the box. What do you mean, let's think outside the box? Let's take him up to the roof. Let's dig a hole in the guy's house through the roof, and we'll lower him there. And that way, the guy's going to get Jesus' attention. We're going to get this thing done. Just a couple of great things there. One, they didn't let the obstacle stop them from getting to Jesus. Remember that. Number two, they thought outside the box. You had to get this guy up on the roof. Whether there were stairs or not, which there probably was some kind of stairs, it's still quite the chore to take somebody up on the roof who's paralyzed. I mean, this is a big chore. Then they had to break through the roof. I'm sure the house owner was thrilled as his roof insurance kicked in, right? They lower the guy, and what does the scripture say? They went up to the roof, lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd. I just want to take a moment there. If you were in the crowd and somebody broke through a roof and they started lowering somebody down, would that be pretty dramatic? Would you be like going, okay, I don't think I saw this on the matinee. What is going on? They lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, and the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith did he see? The men who were carrying the paralyzed man. It was their faith. It wasn't the guy's faith. There are people that came to Jesus that had faith. The woman with the blood issue, she's one of them. But in this case, it was the friend's faith for the paralyzed man. Jesus saw their faith and then responded. So my response to that would be, let's use our faith for others. Have you ever noticed when you pray for somebody else, you got a little bit more of a step or a kick in your faith? Because you can believe that God's going to do something fantastic for them? Great. Instead of complaining that you don't have that same faith, although you should be working on that, you should then use that faith for others. Let's use our faith for others because Jesus saw their faith and healed that guy. Your faith can be used on behalf of somebody else. Did you know that? Your faith, that's the line, your faith can be used on behalf of somebody else. Oh, and closing this out, because that's a super important point, the bonus in this is when the scribes and Pharisees got mad about Jesus saying your sins are forgiven, only God can forgive third-party sins.
If you sinned against somebody, you can ask for forgiveness. If they sinned against you, they can give you forgiveness. But if you're not connected to the situation at all, you can't pronounce anything. Only God can do that, which is why Jesus pronounced him as forgiven, to declare that he is, in fact, God. Isn't that great stuff? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
If you want to know how fruitful nature is, just ask any gardener. Weeds spring up overnight without any help at all. A dormant weed seed just needs a bit of moisture and it will be off and growing. Fruitful reproduction is built throughout God's creation, even in the spiritual realm. And that's why Paul told Timothy to pass on to others what he had learned so spiritual reproduction would continue to the next generation. It's important to ask, where are you reproducing the work God has done in your life? God is at work in you for your sake and the sake of those you touch every day. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's fruitfulness on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Sex is not sin.
Billy Graham.
The Bible does not say that sex is sin. When Adam and Eve had sex, it was the purest form.
But then sin changed everything.
Sin entered in the Garden of Eden, and sin affected the sex lives of everyone. God's great gift was perverted. There's no word in the world today so loosely used as the word love. But I want to tell you there's a big difference between love and lust.
So, how can you avoid lust and stay sexually pure?
With Christ, you can do it. If you turn your life over to Him, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your heart, and He will give you a power and a strength to say no and to live clean.
For more practical advice about sexuality, check out this website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net, from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Man, was that, I just love talking about different things like our faith being used for other people. That was what we talked about last segment. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, I strongly encourage you to check out the podcasts, which our very own Tugboat Todd does a phenomenal job keeping the sound going when I'm talking about how phenomenal he is. That was pretty good. Anyway, if you go to kprz.com, there's a podcast link at the top. You can get all we, I think every show that we do except for the appeals is on those podcasts over the last 4.5 years, plus also on davidspoon.com. You're welcome to do that as well. It doesn't cost any money. Just click on the little podcast, listen anytime you want. There are a lot of them.
And one day we're going to have to actually categorize them, but we haven't quite figured out how to do that yet. Or wait, let me say this differently. The station's way too cheap and I'm way too broke. There's no way that's happening. So you just got to figure it out. If you got a question about a particular issue, I'd be glad to help. All right. Wasn't that kind of me to say it that way? The honesty gets me in more trouble than anything. Let's get into our next DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. And I don't think this one has a sound either. I'm getting the no sound, no sound. In this one, the title is called In This Image, Net. Which I think the actual Russian spelling for not is N-U-T. You might have to check on that. It's like N-E-T or N-U-T. Bottom line is no. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. Get ready. Here is a different take on the entire process of the image of God. After all, you have heard how many times in your life we're all made in the image of God, right? You've heard that, right? And that is not incorrect. But Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 through 3 says this. This is a list of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, he made them like himself. Verse 2. He created them male and female, and he blessed them, and he named them human beings. Okay, so it's pretty important to understand that God created man in his image, right? That's not hard to understand, okay? Not a big deal. And in making them in his image, he did something. He communicated through his building of man a bit of who he was or who he is, so to speak. Might be a better way to say that. Okay, that's cool. Now I want you to look at verse 3, which says the following. Okay? It says, Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a son in his likeness, according to his image, and he called his name Seth. Did you get that? You're thinking, but I don't get it, Dave. I don't get it. Adam was 130 years old when he fathered his son in his likeness, according to his image, and he named him Seth. Now, wait. Now, you got to understand what's going on here, okay? Get this. When Adam was 130 years old, he had a son who was like him, and he named him Seth. That's Adam creating a child in Adam's image. Now remember, Adam was created in God's image. Can I get an amen from the audience out there? God created man in God's image. Amen? Yeah, amen, Dave. Got it. God made man in his image. God made man with the authority, with the character, with the distinctiveness, with the attributes. Get ready. Here's the big mind blower. And with sinlessness. When God created man, man was not a sinner. You understand? I just want to make sure from a court of law you really get this. When God created Adam, Adam had not yet sinned. God made him. Adam was sinless in the beginning. He had authority like God did. He had character like God did. He had distinctiveness like God did. He had attributes like God did, but he was sinless. However, when man made his offspring, Adam was 130 years old, and he had a son who was like him, made in his image. His name was Seth. When man made his offspring, the man, the offspring from Adam, had the same character, the same distinctives, the same attributes, and the same rebellious, the same darkness, and the same sinfulness as man. Here's a big, 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 big get. You gotta get this. God created man, and man was sinless. But when man created man, man was no longer sinless. Do you understand that difference? Every seed from Adam on was created in, from beyond Adam, was created in sin nature. You see, here's the big diff. God created man sinless,
But every man since Adam sinned has been sinful. So when it says we're made in the image and likeness of God, it's true that we share God's character, God's distinctiveness, God's attributes, but it's not true like it was for Adam that we are sinless. That, my friends, is the big difference. Do you know you'll have people on television that will tell you man is basically good and he's got some evil in him? But that's incorrect, because every being birthed from Adam and Eve on was birthed in sin. Man is evil with some of the good in him, or God is a liar. You understand that difference? God creates Adam, he's sinless. Adam creates Seth, Cain, and Abel, they're not sinless. When you came out of Adam and Eve's loins, you were not sinless. Oh, you're made in the image of God, except for the sinless part. Do you understand how important that is? Listen, when Adam was 130 years old, he fathered a son in his likeness according to his image. Well, what was the image of Adam at 130 years old? He was a sinner. And every man and woman born thereafter is a sinner. From the birth and creation, from the creation of Adam to the birth of humanity, the one attribute difference between Adam and all the others, between Adam and Eve and all the others, is Adam and Eve had no sin, but every human being thereafter did and does and will. Yeah, you're made in the image of God, except for the sinless part, which was lost. And except for the authority part, which Jesus had to take back for us. So every time they get on that television, or every time you read on the internet, or every time you look in a magazine, or every time a preacher tells you something, and it's like, you're just fantastic in every possible way, just like God, that's a lie. Because your image bearer was Adam, and he was a sinner. That is what you were birthed out of. Got it? If you catch that, you understand why. Repentance is important. Salvation is important. God's help is important. And defiance against the King of Kings will set you up in the wrong direction for eternity. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, then we'll be back with our special guest. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Justice is repeatedly called for in the Bible. So what's the problem? This is Jim Garlow. Leviticus 19:15 instructs us not to show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge our neighbor fairly. There's to be no favoritism in the courts between rich or poor, male or female, or based on race. Everyone is to obey the same standard of righteousness and suffer the same consequences for violating it. And further, biblically, mercy and kindness are to be extended to those weak and vulnerable in our society. But this does not mean unjustly seizing and redistributing wealth and property that is the rightful possession of others. Unfortunately, for many in the social justice movement, it does mean exactly that, the forceful redistribution of wealth. It's not only unbiblical and unjust, it has failed everywhere on earth it's been tried. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. It's breaking me in two.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. What a show. We're just tearing it up. Rip, 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 rip. It just must be like the first day of Passover. That's what it reminds me of. All right. On the phone with us, the legend in radio lore. When you say this name, people tremble. They recognize greatness when it comes into the room. They recognize greatness when it comes on the radio. They recognize greatness when we don't know what the government is doing in some of these financial things, and somebody has to have an answer. And that person with that answer is the legend, Marty Schneider, the retirement professor at theretirementprofessor.com, professorsocialsecurity.com. His number, by the way, 1-800-727-PLAN. And don't forget, if you don't plan and you're planning to fail, 1-800-727-7526. Marty, my good friend and brother, how are you?
Hey, David, I am great. You know, I hear these amazing introductions, and I think, you know, when I get home after work, my wife's still going to make me take out the garbage tonight.
That's right, Marty.
You know, there's... It's just the way the world is.
I got to tell you something. I had this great preacher one time. He was talking to a group of pastors, and he just said, it's amazing how the Lord uses different things in our lives to kind of bring us down like to the right level in a hurry. He had preached in front of like 16,000 people, and 1,000 people made a decision for Jesus Christ, and it was so powerful. He's going on, and he gets off the stage, and he goes to his wife, and he goes, "What'd you think?" And she goes, "Eh." He said, "Nothing in the world can bring you to the normal level than that." It was like,
that's
it was
right.
Over right there.
So true. But, you know, David, I love this week. I love the Passover into Easter experience. It really is my favorite week of the year because I have such great memories as a kid, you know, of having the Seder with my family, and it was just such a joyous time, such a joyous holiday, and singing the Passover songs, and then of course later in life, understanding the relationship between that meal, that Seder, and then of course the resurrection of Christ. So it's just a powerful week.
Yeah, it is very, very, very powerful. Are you doing good? Are things going good for you, Marty?
Yeah, things are going really well. Busy, you know, it's a busy time of year. That, you know, from a financial standpoint, David, this is as we kind of buzz up here to the tax filing deadline date, which is coming on the 18th this year. A lot of last minute folks kind of calling and saying, "Hey, can I still drop, you know, money into my IRA account and get a deduction for last year?" And the answer, by the way, to that, David, is yes, you can. You can still put money in your IRA if you have an IRA account, and if you, you know, haven't filed your taxes yet for last year, you can still deduct that on your 2016 tax return all the way up until the filing deadline. So there's still time to save some money for retirement and benefit your tax return a little bit at the same time.
All right. Is this for you? Because you are dealing with retirement, the retirement aspect of finances, but you deal with all the different ones. But I'm saying in the core of what you do, being a retirement professor, so to speak, is this any busier a time for you, or is it only busy because people get a little bit more uptight because you got the filings?
Yeah, I think that's it. It just kind of forces the issue, and it puts a deadline where, you know, we've got until the 18th to take some action on these IRAs. So it just kind of, you know, it puts a little pressure to get it done before that time. But, you know, generally speaking, it's not necessarily a busier season other than that particular issue. You know, that, David, gosh, what I find is it's just so many questions that come up relating to the complexities around Social Security, and you and I have touched a little bit on that, but there's so many of these little kind of hidden features of the Social Security system that it's kind of one of those places where people often will say to me, well, gosh, I don't even know what I don't know kind of thing, so they don't know what questions to ask. But that, between husbands and wives, there are some moving parts in that whole conversation that, generally speaking, it's helpful to have a discussion so you at least understand what all the options are and when you should file and when the spouse should file and what spousal benefits mean and what survivor benefits mean. And that it's a fairly complex system, and if you understand it, you can, you know, use it to your maximum benefit.
All right, now let me ask you kind of a Social Security / semi-real estate question, but it'll still be right up in your realm, and that is, if a person's on Social Security, and let's say they have a certain amount, could people be better off not owning a home, or are they better off owning a home, or is this really going to come down to the level of income and the type of home and maybe the location?
Yeah, I mean, the Social Security system is not impacted by home ownership.
Okay.
So there's no direct relationship there, David, between, you know, whether you're a homeowner or you're renting, or the big Social Security issue that would come into play is what portion of your Social Security is taxable, and that is based on the rest of your income picture once you begin to receive Social Security benefits. And again, this is another one of those areas. It's a little complex. There's three possible tiers of taxation on Social Security. Some people pay no tax on their Social Security benefit. Most people pay tax on half of their Social Security. And if you're upper income in retirement, you can pay tax on up to 85% of your Social Security benefit. But nobody pays tax on all their Social Security, even the highest income earners.
All right. So let me ask you a couple of questions along that line, because that was kind of leads me to a couple of things. One, and you've mentioned this before, so I just want to bring it up again. The age that you can start accessing Social Security is
62 is the earliest. And if you do that, you won't get full benefit. You'll get a reduced benefit. But you can begin it at age 62.
What? But you don't have to. In other words, can you delay as long as you want?
Yeah, all the way up to age 70. You get full retirement benefit, David, depending upon your year of birth. It's, for most people, it's somewhere between age 66 and 67 is when you get 100% of your benefit. And then even then, you don't have to initiate the income benefit until age 70 is the – there's no benefit after 70 because you don't get any higher income by waiting after age 70. That kind of maxes out the system. But, for example, David, if your retirement age is 66 and you don't turn on your benefit till 70, for those 4 years, for each year you waited, you get about an 8% bump in your Social Security check per year. So at age 70, that check is about 32% higher than at age 66 because you got, you know, 8% times 4 years.
And that 8 or that higher 32% from that 4 years goes from that point on until you're deceased. Is that correct?
That's right. That's exactly right. But this is where some of the family planning comes in, David, because then as a survivor benefit, if you're married and that individual passes away, the surviving spouse gets the greater of either their own personal Social Security check or their spouse's check if it's more.
Gotcha.
So by waiting those extra 4 years, you're actually kind of giving your spouse some little kind of insurance because they're going to get that higher check then for the rest of their life as well. So that's one of the planning issues that comes into the discussion.
All right. Now, you're going to love these questions. These are all just right Social Security area questions. Next question. What if somebody's been married once, then they're married twice?
Mm-hmm.
What spouse gets the benefits?
Yeah. You know what? It's possible that they both could. Here's how that works. If you're married for more than 10 years, then you are eligible for spousal benefits. And I've actually had situations, David, where people had two marriages that lasted 10 years or longer, and both of those, the ex-spouse and the current spouse, are eligible for the same spousal benefits. Yeah, kind of crazy, but that's the way the deal works.
Now, I got a terrible question, and you can't get mad at me. You know, you answer a question, it gives me five more, which is part of the problem. What if somebody was married for 15 years, and then they get married again, they're married for 15 years, and they're in their second marriage, and they don't like their first wife, their first husband. I mean, how does that work? Can they say, I don't want them to get that?
No, they have no say over it. The spousal benefit, in fact, if you're that person against whom your ex-spouse is claiming benefits, you may not even know that your ex is claiming benefits against you. It doesn't impact that person in any way. That ex has to march down to the Social Security system, prove that they were married for 10 years or longer, show the original marriage, certificate and the divorce decree. And if that is 10 years or longer, that ex-spouse can file against their ex-spouse's benefits, and the spouse may not ever even know they filed against their benefit. There's no communication with the ex at all on that.
Now, that doesn't matter what sex it is, though, right? That goes either direction, right?
Goes either way. Goes either way on that. Correct. That's right.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
You're killing me. There are so many things in the government you just look at and go, really? I'm just about it. How do you check where you're at in Social Security? Let's say you're like, I have no idea. Like for me, in the earlier part of my career, I did a lot of more independent stuff. Before I became a Christian, I did independent stuff that would never be reported. But now that, that I've grown out of that, and so I'm telling you, how do you go in and say, hey, here's where my current status is?
Well, if you don't receive the annual report, which I think the Social Security Administration has really phased, used to get the annual, kind of disclosure statement from them that would report your numbers. But you can go online to socialsecurity.gov, and you can create a, an account with a password, and it'll bring up your file, and it'll show you the estimate of what you could expect at 62 or 66, or if you waited all the way to age 70. So you just create an account online or you can march into the Social Security office, David, anytime, and show proof of who you are, and they can pull the file up for you as well. But most people do it online. You can actually file for your claim benefits online these days. You don't really have to go to the Social Security office, but that's one way to do it. Just create an account and put your Social Security number in there, and it'll pull your data up right in front of your eyeballs.
I think it's been 40 years since I've been in a Social Security office.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that's about right. I think it's been a really, really long, long time, but I digest. Anyhow, excellent material. See, now, wasn't that great for you? Because you got to just answer Social Security question after Social Security question. We've never really done that in three years that we've been together. That's the first time I just went one after the other after the other.
And it's so funny, David, there's so many weird ones. Like, I had one where, a husband and wife were married for 6 years, then they divorced, and then they got remarried and have been remarried now for 5 years. And their question to me was, do we pass the 10-year test? Now, you know what? They stumped the retirement professor on that. I had to do some research to get the answer. I didn't know that one before, yeah.
Wow, that's just so many scenarios you can't even imagine. Excellent job, Marty. Yeah. Always great to talk with you. Next week, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I got a question about, a little bit about real estate and the retirement aspect. So we're going to kind of head in that direction because I had somebody ask me a question. I'm like, I have no idea, but I know the guy who knows.
Excellent. I look forward to that chat. Hey, David, I hope you have a blessed week and a fantastic Easter weekend ahead. And as always, it's such a treat to talk with you.
As well, for me to you, I enjoy you all the time, Marty. You're fantastic.
Thanks, brother. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Ladies and gentlemen, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. You can go to Marty's site, theretirementprofessor.com. Or ProfessorSocialSecurity.com. And as you just witnessed, nobody knows more than that guy knows. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. I'll be dancing and breaking. Oh.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Even on the cross, Jesus forgave those who hurt him.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Boucher Pye. Amy writes, "When a friend betrayed me, I knew I would need to forgive her, but I wasn't sure that I could. Her words pierced deeply inside me, and I felt stunned with pain and anger. Although we talked about it and I told her I forgave her, for a long time whenever I'd see her, I felt tinges of hurt, so I knew I still clung to some resentment. One day, however, God answered my prayers and gave me the ability to let go completely. I was finally free." Amy continues, "Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith, with our Savior extending forgiveness even when he was dying on the cross. Jesus loved those who had nailed him there, uttering a prayer asking his Father to forgive them. He didn't hang on to bitterness or anger, but showed grace and love to those who had wronged him. This is a fitting time to consider before the Lord any people we might need to forgive, as we follow Jesus' example in extending his love to those who hurt us. When we ask God through his Spirit to help us forgive, he will come to our aid, even if we take what we think is a long time to forgive. When we do, we are freed from the prison of unforgiveness." Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Wow, what a show. Wow. All right, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. If you want to send me an email and say, wow, I'm going to agree with you. You can also reach us at Facebook, The David Spoon Experience. Not a lot going on there on Facebook because I am a social media, just not the guy that gets it. So doing the best I can, though, and I do have my Facebook post. We're going to get to that in just a second. I do want to let you know we do have confirmation, and we are excited because Thursday we have David Limbaugh going to be on the show at 2:30. His The True Jesus book doing very well. Now, David Limbaugh, brother of Rush Limbaugh, has really forged his own ministry life and has become a Christian apologetic writer. He writes for the defense of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and has just really stepped up his game book after book after book. We're very excited to have him on Thursday. David Limbaugh, 2:30, should be fantastic. Very looking forward to that. Excellent material on the book. So I'm just telling you ahead of time what's taking place. Let's get ready for our Facebook post. What do we have for a song for our Facebook post called For a Reason?
sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high.
There it is. There's a great job finding that. Thank you, by the way. Let's get into it. It was the one that was actually posted yesterday, so hang in there. It's Acts chapter 26, verse 16. For a reason. Here it says this. Now, get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and of what I will show you. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Far too many Christians sitting on the couch. Get up. But Dave, the couch is comfortable. Fantastic. Christianity is not a comfort faith. This isn't like eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. And sometimes as a believer, you got to stand up. Maybe it puts you in a tough position. I understand. People keep thinking, oh, Jesus, peace, 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 love, love, love. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, I have not come to send peace, but bring a sword to split at family odds. Family members, two against three and three against two. And there's two things that Paul recounts as he is being spoken to by the Lord regarding what the purpose, what the reason was that he was selected. Number one was to be a servant for the gospel. To appoint you as a servant. A servant. Now, this is an amazing word usage. Get ready. A servant serves. Wow. Who would have thought? You see, when you say the word public servant in our society, it means somebody who's sucking the money away from other people and doesn't seem to really care. But Jesus does not see a servant that way. Jesus sees a servant who serves. And a witness for the gospel. You know, somewhere in some capacity, somebody witnessed, whether it was to you or a family member, your parents or your grandparents, where somehow you connected to the faith. And if somebody didn't do that, you wouldn't be a believer either. So we are called to be a servant for the gospel and a witness for the gospel. Two incredible things. Things in regards that we have seen of the Lord, of what we have seen, which has to do with all the great things God has done with us from the moment we can recollect Kingdom of God stuff to now, which is the things that you have seen of me. And then Jesus says, and the things I will show you, the things that you will yet see. And that's all the things from right now until the trumpet blows. So no matter what has happened in the kingdom of God from the beginning point to the end, from the A to the Z, from the Alpha to the Omega, you and I have been called to be servants and witnesses for the gospel of everything in the past to now and everything now to the future, which means it doesn't ever stop until the trumpet blows. There's a reason that he called you, and it's not fire insurance, okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite